Praise the Lord. Well, we're doing a study from Psalm 119. We're going to take 8 verses a week. Psalm 119 has 22 groupings or sections of 8 verses each. And for the most part, many of the words beginning with each sentence or the key words start with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which beginning at verse 9 today is this word Beth, or it's not really a word, it's a letter, the sound for the letter in the Hebrew alphabet, of which there's 22. So one of the things we see with that in overview is that with every part of the Hebrew language speaks to the Word of God. The general theme of Psalm 119 is loving the Word of God. And the whole of the language and the whole of the alphabet of Hebrew will be able to be used or is applicable to the love for the Word of God. And that's very important. That is, extremely important for us to have a love for the Word of God. The other thing, and I'm going to mention these two things every week. One is what I just said, that the love for the Word of God is a key emphasis. But the other thing is, throughout Psalm 119, and as I was laying in bed upon waking up, I guess a week and a half or so ago, the Holy Spirit ministered to me about this, that every verse of the 176 in Psalm 119 is either a declaration, a petition, or a confession. Declaration, petition, or confession, and that is every verse. So what we realize from this is that this psalm is really an extremely valuable psalm for Bible study and for your prayer life or your confession. And I think it would be beneficial if you want to pursue this to read it out loud, because declarations, petitions, and confessions all need to be spoken. We understand the power, the creative power of God's released through our words. So we have a love for God's word in our heart. And what we're going to do with that is declare what it says about him and his principles, his ways, to declare it, to petition God or ask him for something, and then to confess it. So we begin today at verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Let's say it's beginning with a question. By taking heed according to thy word, or paying attention to it, to observe it, to embrace the word of God. That's how our way will be cleansed. Now, last week, one of the words that was rather a key word was the word way. And way and ways of God, there's a couple Hebrew words there. It can speak to like just the path you're walking on, but then also the big picture, the journey, beginning to end. In other words, where you're walking now, right now, or the word derek speaks the whole journey. The Hebrew word's called derek, the whole journey beginning to end. So your life, there's a walk beginning to end, and then there's the steps you're taking right now. And God addresses both of those things in his word. So he says here, how shall a young man cleanse his way or the steps or like the path that he's on? Not, like your whole life's not necessarily being cleansed here, but the steps that you're taking right now need to be pure. Otherwise, you get off course and go astray. So how is it that your way would be cleansed? By taking heed according to the word of God. Now back in 2 Timothy chapter 2, when it speaks of us being made a vessel fit for the master's use, he makes a statement there. I think it's around verse 22 or somewhere in there. It says, flee youthful lust, pursue righteousness and faith and love and peace out of a pure heart. or out of desiring to please God, to glorify Him, to pursue the right thing. Now, Brother Ed Cole used to say something that always really struck me as very profound. He said, you do wrong because you don't do right. And he referenced Galatians 5:17. It says, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you do right, you won't do wrong. Our way will be cleansed by taking heed to the word or looking at what we should be doing or should be pursuing. If we'll pursue the right thing, the cleansing of the wrong ways will be an automatic. As we see what's right, we then have a choice to make whether we're going to pursue what God would have us to be His way or whether we're going to hang on to the ways of the flesh and immaturity or youthful lust. Now, youthful lust generally involves a love of pleasure and play. That's foolishness that's bound in the heart of a child. It's play, 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 play. In becoming a man or a woman, you take responsibility and work. You work under fruitfulness. You're not just playing for your own pleasure. One of the great problems that exist in many people's lives is they live for the pleasure of this life, or they try to have it mixed. Little bit of God, little bit of pleasure. Little bit of God, whole lot of pleasure. And the parable of the sower is very plain that chokes the word out from bearing any fruit. So you have people, they go through their life and are wondering, well, why isn't there more of God's blessing, to use that word, or more fruit in my life? And part of it's because the word keeps getting choked out because of their immaturity or the childishness, the youthfulness. Now, that can go in a lot of directions, whether it's like drugs, alcohol, or sexual sin. But it can also be things you don't think of as morally wrong. God's not against you having any pleasure, or He wouldn't have created it. But the thing is, we find our greater pleasure in knowing and loving and obeying and serving and glorifying Him as the greater pleasure. Now, it's very easy to discern where we're at in our life with this, and that is by what am I pursuing? Again, Timothy said to pursue the righteousness, faith, love, peace out of a pure heart with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. We can look at what we pursue, how we use our time, what we're thinking about, where our money goes. All those things speak as to where we're placing our value. Our pathway we're walking will be cleansed as we're more acknowledging, God, what are you saying, rather than just the whims of our heart or the desires that would come into our mind. Verse 10, with my whole heart I have sought thee. Now, verse 9 makes a declaration. How shall a man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to the word. Now, here's a confession. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Wow, what a confession. You know, sometimes even the very songs that we would sing contain a declaration and a confession in them, where if you're not endeavoring to walk in the light of that, that could bring conviction on yourself. Or a person can easily feel like a hypocrite to enter into true worship of God, to walk into the midst of true worship. A person could easily be convicted, I'm being hypocritical. If you're saying, God, I love you, or I offer my whole heart to you, if you're singing that, and your mind knows that's not true in you. Now, that's a good thing, you know, to sing where there's a confession and a declaration that would bring conviction upon ourselves. I love conviction. I want to hold fast to the conviction of the truth of the word of God and not stray from that. So he says, oh, let me not wander from my commandments. So now here's a petition that follows the confession and the declaration. We see a pattern here. Declaration, confession, petition. Oh, God, keep me from straying off from your commandments, because it's keeping his word or his commandments. And there's a lot of words used rather interchangeably here. Statutes, testimonies, law. help me, Lord, that I don't stray from that. Because the blessing of the Lord's in the keeping of his commandments. The blessing of the Lord's not just because, like, you're an infant child, just because daddy loves you, you're going to be blessed. Daddy wants to bless you. But he brings truth to us that we grow up where we don't remain as a little child, but we become men and women of God, taking responsibility and entering into the work of the Lord and letting our life bring glory and honor to him. So his petition here is, Lord, keep me in your commandments, or keep your word alive in my heart. My way will be cleansed by taking heed to your word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Now, how does he do that? Well, the Holy Spirit, that's his ministry, that's his job. And what he does is continue to bring to your remembrance what's been spoken. And he deals with us, the keeping us in the way of God. A part of it's the remembrance in our mind of the word, but also, and maybe even more so, the Holy Spirit deals with our conscience. And he impresses right and wrong. And I share frequently whenever it's applicable, because this is very important, that the one thing Adam was not allowed to have was the right to decide what was good and evil, right and wrong. That was reserved only for God himself. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that I'll decide what's good or evil. And that puts you in the place of God to do that, puts you in the place of God. It's not till someone really surrenders the right to do that, that they ever really surrender themselves to God. Because that's part of what you're surrendering. Well, I think, well, I want, well, I believe. We have to surrender that to him and let him be making those impressions, because there are times your flesh is going to want something. And God says, no, here's what I want for you. But the flesh wants something else. And we're going to stay close to him and not stray off from his commandments if we continue to pay attention to the Holy Spirit and his conviction and promptings in our conscience. Do this, don't do that. This is right, this is wrong. And he prompts us ahead of time. And not just in terms of like commands of his law, but even just the ways we would walk. And when you grow up, those things are programmed into your heart, where a person might be trained, as say a boy, hold the door for the lady. Now, that's not a command in the Bible, but that's a more of a cultural command that proceeds out of the showing of respect and giving honor to the lady or to an elderly person. You know, you offer to help them. You would do something like hold the door. So someone has that impressed into their conscience at a young age. So as they approach a doorway and they see someone else walking toward the door, say someone elderly, or maybe it's a male and they see a lady, they would hold the door because it was impressed upon them. And that comes back from their conscience. This is the right thing to do. Now, some people never have those things imparted into them. So that's the guy, the young guy, just opens the door, walks through, and lets it slam in the face of a lady who's walking right behind him in a restaurant or wherever, you know, wherever you get coming into the church. So you have things instilled in you. And it's interesting how some things are just culturally instilled. Generally, it's based on something, though. It may be the word of God. It may be just a principle, but it has some basis. I remember there's times when my wife and I were watching the news. This might have been like a year or 2 years ago. There's a certain congressman. He was from the South Carolina, I believe it was. And whoever his guest or host would be, say it's a lady, and they would ask him a certain question. Now, he has a lot of authority. He's a congressman. But he would answer and say, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. to the host. He was trained that way. And that part of the country lays a lot of emphasis on that type of verbal response. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Where in the North, you don't hear that so much. You might hear it some. But in the South, that's very much, you're out of order if you don't talk like that. So that's instilled in them. That, son, daughter, this is the right way you speak to someone who's being respectful to you. You would show them a respect back and say, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. And it always make me chuckle inside every time I'd see this guy come on, because he would do it every time. Every time this guy would do this. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And he has congressional authority, and he's saying this to a young lady younger than him, less life experience, who has no authority, but in his training as a lady, you would show that respect. And he'd do the same thing to men. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And it's funny because sometimes you would see it strike people kind of funny. Like, you have authority from our government, you're a congressman, but you're speaking to me like this. And you could just see it on their face sometimes. They weren't used to hearing that. Well, the Holy Spirit works to establish convictions in our heart, and it's out of those promptings that we stay close to His Word and His commandments, and thus abide in the Spirit. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Now, this is such a precious and valuable scripture, and especially these verses for younger people, especially important, especially as they move into teenage years, to see the importance of putting the word in their heart, because what will happen, the Holy Spirit will recall that word when they have the opportunity, say, to be respectful. Or not be respectful. Holy Spirit, we call that word. And the only way they can get away from that is to harden their heart against the Word of God. And once somebody does that, they are in big trouble. You begin hardening yourself to the voice of God, Him speaking to you of what's right and wrong. Now the restraining power of God is removed, and it won't be long. It won't be long till that young person begins pursuing all manner of sin. Sometimes you're going to look at someone's life and see someone like goes over the edge and is like, when did this happen? I'll tell you when it started to happen. When the Word of God was being resisted and rejected from being the rule and conduct of their behavior in their life. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Now, that being said, there is value to the memorization of Scripture. Now, we have to understand we operate out of our spirit, as the Holy Spirit can influence our mind, our will, our emotions, our whole soul realm. We put the Word in our heart, in our spirit. The Holy Spirit takes that and brings it to our remembrance, or our understanding, our reasoning, our will, whereby He keeps us from sin by that word being brought up before us. Now, Jesus said, in speaking of the Holy Spirit, He will bring all things to remembrance that I've taught you. Again, back to the conscience. He'll bring that back up in you, as well as memory. Don't be confessing you have a bad memory. I realize there can be some health conditions, especially as people get older, but even you don't have to be older. There are certain conditions, things lacking in the body where it's like your memory, your brain functions being hindered by that and your memory. Don't add to that by confessing it. God wants you to have a sound mind. And your mind is part of the work of the mind is memory. Sometimes people, the reason they don't remember certain things is they're so focused on other things. If we have a love for the Word of God and sow that into our heart, we will remember that. That's what's going to come out of us. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Now, verse 12, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Another petition. I want to come back to this. I want to read down through the rest of the verses, and our focus the rest of the time then will be on verse 12. Teach me thy statutes. He says, verse 13, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. There's a declaration here of the things God has done and declared are his judgments. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. Now, if we see the word of God as more valuable than gold, fine gold and silver, like Proverbs would speak of frequently, if we see that, we will rejoice in our heart more at the hearing of what God has said or done than having great wealth. Now, sometimes on television, you might see a commercial like for a sweepstakes winner, and they have a big blown up thing of a check. You won $5,000 a week for life or something like that. And you'll have the people, then they're videoing them going berserk. Ah, I won $5,000 a week for life. And we look at that, we kind of chuckle, it's kind of funny. But you know, that is what a lot of people will do. Would they be even more ecstatic over a revelation from the Word of God? A revelation of truth that would set you free. You know, money is just a tool. It can help you, it can bless you, it can be a curse to you. But the truth of the Word of God always is life-giving, always liberty-producing. I just found that was interesting there. What brings a greater joy or rejoicing in our heart? He said, I rejoice in the way of the testimony of the Lord as much as in all riches. Verse 15, confession again. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect to thy ways. Verse 16, confession again. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Now, as you confess something like this, then it becomes stronger in you. And when you face the temptation to do the opposite of that, it's going to be right there. Oh no, I shouldn't do that. This, you know, because that word is strong within you. So to confess, I will, is very, very important. I will meditate in the word of God. I get very concerned with the way things have progressed in terms of technology and all that. Meditation is being lost. And you can have, and I love my iPad, you can have a device like that, and it's a wonderful blessing. When I go to India and Sri Lanka 2 weeks, I take this. Once upon a time, back in the old days, I'd have a Bible, I'd have a tape player, I'd have all this and a bunch of cassettes. I have all this stuff to take with me, and maybe even a Strong's Concordance. And that all stuff takes up space and weight where you have to have a suitcase to carry this stuff. Now, I have it all right here. And it's a wonderful blessing. But the downside of that is you can just go to that and not meditate on the word and have all your thinking being done for you. And we lose out on the process, and thus we lose out on what is imparted to us in the process of meditating the word. To ponder over it, to think over it, to speak it to ourselves. That's meditation. And it's a vital part of the Christian life for a believer to meditate upon the word. That word goes deep into you. It will keep you out of sin. That word as you're meditating will strengthen faith. That word as you meditate will bring an impartation of wisdom into our life. So the act of meditation is very, very important. And what's alarming to me is when people just go, 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 go. Eventually, the person's going to burn themselves out. And maybe they reach for drugs or you know, things of that nature to go, 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 go. And that go, go, go might be with making money. It might be with pleasure. But we've been designed to be still and know that He is God. Our spirit man's designed for that. It's not really an option in the wisdom of God. In the wisdom of God and walking in His ways, that's something that needs to be a part of our life. And Joshua 1, it speaks of meditating the book of the law day and night, that God would make His way prosperous and He would be a good success. So it's good to confess. These confessions are very powerful. I will meditate in thy precepts. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Sometimes you do wrong because you just forgot what was right. Holy Spirit will endeavor to prompt us. Maybe we're not listening. And then we forget. And it's like a far removed thing to people. Okay, well, let's go back to verse 12. Blessed art thou, O Lord. That's a declaration. Teach me thy statutes. Here's a petition. Teach me, teach me, teach me. Have you said that recently? This should be part of our daily prayer life. If people begin to think, well, I already know everything, you will never pray that. Teach me. Well, I already know. Teach me. Teach me. And regardless of how much you know, we still need to continue to learn. Now, a verse like this is a real delight for a teacher. Teachers love to learn. I mean, it's a passion. It's a love to learn and then create understanding. That's really a key attribute of someone with a teaching gift. Their passion is to learn and to create understanding. So someone like myself, I can have fun just sitting by myself with a dictionary and enjoy myself. Honestly, you might sound, well, you're a boring person. Well, that's just within the grace of a teacher. It's wrong, however, to expect everyone to be like you. We should all want to be like Jesus, but we are all wired a little differently with different grace. It's wrong to expect everyone to be like you. Upon understanding that, when I was teaching in our high school, one thing I tried to do was meet the kids where they were at and not try to make them all act like a teacher. You know, that happens a lot of times in educational systems, where teachers try to make all the kids think like a teacher. Well, they would probably love just to go home and read a book for 2 hours at night. Well, if they were like you, maybe they would. Maybe you did that when you were in school. But they're not all wired the same. And that's a grave mistake when people try to make people be like them. Sometimes men try to make women be like a man. Or a woman might try to make the man be like a woman. That's not going to work. Now, that being said, we should all desire to continue to be taught and to learn. It has nothing to do with you being a teacher or not. We should all want to learn. Lord, teach me. And we continue to grow as He's creating knowledge, understanding, and wisdom within us. Now, I want to go to Psalm 25. Psalm 25 speaks more than anywhere I know of, about being taught of the Lord. Verse 1 says, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. And I love the third day song that comes out of this psalm. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. You know, when you're ignorant, you can end up being ashamed pretty quick. You do something that would be viewed as like, dumb. Why did you do that? It's just because you don't know any better. You know, so really, if someone's ignorant, we don't want to make fun of them. They just don't know. Some people haven't been taught even some basic, simple things in life. Yea, let none that wait upon thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed to transgress without a cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your path, or how to walk. Teach me how to walk your path. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all day long. Now, in asking to be taught, who are you looking to? It's really wise to look to God, who knows everything. He knows right where you are. God always meets people where they are. He doesn't say, well, when you attain a certain level, then I'll talk to you. No, he always will meet us where we're at. Therefore, we don't have to be afraid of being ashamed before him. He will meet you where you are. Sometimes people are looking to the world to teach them. Well, you're going to get all their worldly ways. We need to look to the Lord. Lord, you teach me. And one of the things that's kind of dangerous is if someone's looking to a person who is submitted to the ways of man, not the ways of God. So now you could accept something into your life, but it's not really God's way. I remember in the mid-1980s, there was somewhat of a phenomenon, in a sense, where all these books began to be written that were nothing more than human psychology. And they were being written with Christian tagging on it, and the bookstores were being filled with such books. And that was very alarming to me at that point, because what I was used to reading was books on how to walk by faith or walk in the Spirit. Things from the Scripture. And now there was the thinking of man, and people were buying up these things, and it leads you not to trust God, not to believe for a miracle, not believe for wisdom or a revelation from God, but I'll do this in my own ability according to what this man has taught. It's very important who you're listening to and who you're allowing to teach you. That is a very, very important thing. Sometimes preachers preach more opinion than they do the Word of God. That's dangerous. Because wherever their opinion is not based on the Word and your heart's open to them, then you're going to pick that up. And I find people repeat a lot of things, and I know, being a student of the Scriptures, it's not in there. I'll give you an example when it just pops into my mind here. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. Show me where that's in Scripture. It's not there. We don't plead the blood. We speak the word. Now, because of what the blood did, we have the right to boldly approach the throne of God, having been given a gift of righteousness, which was paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. I mean, the blood's important. I'm not taking anything away from it. I'm just saying there's phrasings that people will do, and it's just because they heard somebody else say it. So we want to judge all things according to the Scripture, and then we walk in a more accurate way in God's ways, and that's part of, show me your ways, Lord. You teach me. So in coming here, you know, I'm the mouthpiece. But for you, your faith needs to be in God and looking to the Holy Spirit, who is your teacher, who may happen to be using me. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your path. Lead me in truth. When Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit, whom he called a teacher, he said that he will guide you in the truth. Anyone who's truly experiencing the ministry of the Holy Spirit is going to be a person who will honor the truth, love the truth, look for the truth, endeavor to obey the truth. It's all about the truth. many times people are very delusional about where they're at with God and walking with him, and they'll want to believe and say, oh yeah, Holy Spirit, this, that, and the other. But if they don't love the truth and are exalting opinion, they are not under the influence of the Holy Ghost. Well, how can you say something like that? Because that's what the scripture teaches us. The Holy Spirit will guide us in truth. He will glorify Christ. Lead me in thy truth. Now, as I read this, I don't see it as like, show me your ways, teach me your path, lead me in truth. But rather a passionate plea from the depth of the heart. Oh, Lord, teach me your path. Lead me in truth. You're the God of my salvation. So I want to learn from you. You know, as you encounter life experiences, one of the things you find is there's a lot of opinions. There's a lot of opinions. What is the truth, though? There's a lot of opinions. How to raise kids. What's the Bible say? That's the bottom line. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and loving kindness, for they have ever been of old. Remember not the sin of my youth, nor my transgression, according to your mercy of that covenant love. Remember me for your goodness sake, or for the sake of God being glorified, his goodness sake. The more we have ourselves set for our purpose for being on the earth, which is to bring glory to God, that will bring a certain prompting in prayer where we're wanting God to see us according to his compassion, his faithfulness, the covenant that's been made, in order that we would bring glory to God. Verse 8, good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. God wants to see you succeed. He wants to see you prosper. It's like a parent has a natural love for their children. You don't want to see them fail. You want to see them be successful. God wants you to be successful. And because of that, he's going to teach you. The meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he teach his way. Now, the word teach here is like four or five different times in this psalm. The meek will he guide. The meek will he teach. When we are meek, we are not exalting our thinking, our ways, our will, but rather we're taking a submissive position. We're not pushing what we think. That runs so deep in man because of Adam's sin. Adam decided, I want to decide what's right and wrong. I want to have an opinion. One of the things that's, again, another somewhat phenomenon of sorts is with the whole gadgets and so forth, you have the social media, and for some it's a useful tool to communicate. But for many, it's merely an outlet for the expression of opinion. And you have people again into arguing and even hate speech and all kinds of stuff because someone else is thinking differently than them. But you'll have many who will just go back and forth feeding each other's opinion. Oh, you think that? Well, I think this. Well, I think that. I think this. That's dangerous stuff. There's no benefit in that other than someone feeling justified. Yes, there's 50 people on my Twitter account that all agree with me, so I must be right. Yeah, and that's the kind of mindset that gets fed with all of that. Now, please, again, hear me correctly. All of these tools can be used for good or can be used for evil. It's just we have to be mindful of the good or evil that can come out of them and make sure we're using them properly. You know, back 50 years ago, you know, with the advent of television coming into every home, you know, some folks will call it the idiot box because of what was on it. But you have a choice what you're going to watch. It could be used in a good way. It could be used in a mindless way that just is like brainwashing someone. It could be used to put fear in people I remember as a kid growing up, and they had a lot of horror movies that would be on. I mean, now if you look back, you think, well, that's pretty pathetic, but it's the best they had. And the problem with watching something like that is, as a kid, is it puts that image in your mind. Somebody's out to get me, and you become paranoid. Or you dream about, you know, being murdered or things like that. So we have to be mindful of how the tool's used. It could be used for good. It could be used for evil. Well, being meek is vital to learning and growing. Verse 10, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. So the way the Lord's going to, in teaching you his path, showing you his path, guiding you in his path, he's going to be guiding you into covenant love and truth. Again, anyone who thinks they're being led by the Spirit, one way you judge that, that's not just stuff out of their own head, or maybe another person's thoughts, or a devil, is the things that I'm endeavoring to walk towards and walk in, is it moving me towards covenant love, grace, mercy? Is it moving me into more truth or something else? The Holy Spirit will guide us in truth and into the love of God. Verse 11, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity. Now, this is mentioned quite a bit here about being pardoned of the iniquity. Why? Because that keeps us from walking in the truth and from bearing fruit. What man is he that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in a way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease. His seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. He will show them his covenant. So in having a greater love and respect for God and his word than you do for your own opinions is key to learning. You only really learn from people that you respect. When we lose respect for someone, what will happen is we'll stop listening. Many times people don't understand this about parenting. If you lose your child's respect, you lose their ear, or they're not going to really listen to you anymore. And you might think, well, I'm your parent. I can just still tell you. Well, you might be talking and doing a lot of telling, but they're not going to listen once they lose respect. So for anyone to listen to us, we need to walk in a way where we would be able to gain their respect. Same with evangelism, soul winning. If people don't respect you, why would they listen to what you're saying? That would involve possibly a decision to change your life. Now, sometimes respect is gained more easily, and some people, if they've been hurt, oh, it could take a long time till they'll trust anyone or respect anyone again. And there are people out there, they don't really respect anyone because they think so highly of themselves, but many times that's just like a cover-up for fear in their life. Well, what man is he that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in a way that he shall choose. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. He'll show them his covenant. So these verses in Psalm 25 correspond with Psalm 119. Oh, teach me, the petition. And really that should be an expression of our heart every day. Lord, teach me. Guide me in the truth. Guide me in right paths. That I would bring glory to you today.